Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
When the end comes, everybody's going to know it. Till then, life goes on pretty much as normal, without much thought about the greatest event in human history. What is the greatest event in human history? When Jesus returns. Nothing could be clearer in the Scriptures that one day the skies are going to open up, could be today, and Jesus is going to appear before all of us, and He is going to return. But to be honest, most of us don't live as if that's going to happen the next minute, next hour. When I was a kid, didn't know much about the Bible, but I knew that something like that was probably going to happen. But I didn't know what it was called. I remember having a dream. Vivid dream. I was probably before I was 10. Here's my hometown. Here's my street that I grew up on right here. That's the house right there. That's the house I grew up in right there. My room was right about there. I used to play hockey here. I played stickball here. And in my dream, that's me right there. I was a very large child. The neighbors were all afraid of me that I'd stamp on their houses. And I used to have this dream about running down this road right here. This is Calderwood Avenue. And as I ran in this dream, all of a sudden, I took off into the air, flying. And eventually, I came around. I flew over the houses, looking down as I went. And I had this thought, because I knew I was going to heaven, and I knew I was going to be with Jesus. This is like before I was 10. I knew this was a great event. And I had this thought, my family's still down there. So I don't have this animation, but I swooped back around, and I grabbed my father's hand and my mother's hand and my brother's, and we all flew into heaven together. I didn't know what that was called. I had another dream before I was 10. It was twilight, just after twilight. I was at this old house. I remember it so vividly. It was a two-story house, an older home. Had this beautiful hedge along the side. Sat on a hill, and down below I could see a town. All my life I've looked for this house. I know it's somewhere. I don't know where it is. But it's a beautiful house. Sits on a hill. And I remember there was a slight breeze blowing in my face. And I was running, and again, I took off into the sky. And I kept thinking to myself, what is that? Now, most of us have dreams of flying, but this was different. This was not just a dream about flying. This was a dream about going somewhere. And the Bible tells us this, that there's going to come this day. This is, you can look there if you want. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the cry of a command, with the voice of the archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God. And listen, and the dead in Christ will be raised first, and those who are alive and left will be caught up together with Him in a cloud to meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord. And here's what the Bible says. Encourage one another with these words. So that's what today's about. I want to encourage you that one day, Jesus is going to come back, and this is what's going to happen to you if you're still here. You're going to be caught up in the air. How many of you want to fly? I think this is one of the greatest desires humans have, is flying, right? Better than driving a car even, right? No, maybe not better than driving a car. Okay, for Bruce. But for the average normal person, flying trumps driving. Just flying. And one day, if we're still here when Jesus comes back, the Bible says the word caught up is the word rapture. We're going to be caught up. Where are we going to be? In the clouds. In the clouds. I'm calling this message, walking on the air. One day we are going to walk on the air. You know, before we had this wonderful snow, your crazy pastor, and I am crazy, by the way, was praying about today's message. And for whatever reason, I was listening to Christmas songs. How many people listen to Christmas songs in October? I'm listening to Christmas songs. And all of a sudden, this song about snow comes on. Actually, about snowmen. I don't know it's about snowmen, but it's about snowmen. And I'm listening to it, and it's called Walking on the Air. How many people have ever heard the song Walking on the Air? Obscure song. I've never heard it really before. And I'm listening to this song, Walking on the Air, Christmas song. And all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to me and says, your church is all about that. I'm like, my church is all about what? Walking on the air? Yeah, it's about walking on the air. And I listened to the song over and over again because it was a strong word. It's all, your church is all about walking on the air. And then I remember what the Lord said before the church began, that this was going to be a place, and I've always said, where eagles go to fly. But I went back and looked at what the actual thing that the Lord said, and it wasn't where eagles go to fly, it was where eagles fly. See, the idea that the church is someplace where eagles go to fly implies that you don't fly until you come to church. But really, the message of this church is the reason you're here is because you can fly. You're an eagle who can fly, and somehow you found this place because this is where eagles can go to fly. But you already can fly. So as I was listening to this song over and over again, it's all about flying. It's about walking on air. And I believe songs are capsules that take messages and bring them to earth. And sometimes the artist is aware that this is a divinely inspired thing, and other times they're not. But I know that God puts these special messages in songs like capsules. And so the song you're going to see has flying snowmen. Excuse me. And as I was thinking about flying snowmen on Tuesday, I had no idea we were going to have snow today. And I thought, this is going to be the most bizarre message I've ever preached about snowmen on the day before Halloween. But we got a lot of snow out there, so you can go out and make a snowman if you like today. And as I thought about the church is all about this, in this song there's a few key words that you're going to hear. I'm going to play it in just a minute. There's a few key expressions you're going to hear that I feel that our church is about this. The first expression that you're going to hear in the song is, people far below are sleeping as we go. As we're flying, people below are sleeping. The Bible says that when Jesus comes back and we're going to be taken in the air with him, the Bible says a lot of people are going to be asleep. And this is our message, really, to everybody who will listen. For anything that becomes visible in the light, therefore I say, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Here's what I've discovered in our Christian life. The more we go to the light, the more awake we are. And the further we get from the light, the more we are asleep. And so as we expose ourselves to the light of God, really, life becomes like a dream, and heaven becomes like a reality. But as we go from the light, heaven becomes the dream and earth becomes the reality. And I really believe God wants us to live with this idea that we are awake into heaven. The other line you're going to hear as this child is flying through the air, he says, I'm holding very tight. And I believe that in order for us to go where God wants us to go, we have to hold on very tight. It reminds me of the Christmas carol. There's a scene here where the angel messenger appears to Scrooge.
Walk with me.
He wants him to fly. But we're all afraid to fly.
But I am mortal and liable to fall.
Here, but a touch of my hand there. And you shall be upheld in more than this.
Now, Bruce, you don't think that's better than driving a car? I think think that might be better than driving a car, actually. That's a pretty cool experience. But the idea was that as he held on to this messenger and held on tight, he was able to be held above, held up. The third thing you're going to hear in the song is an expression. I'm finding that I can fly so high above with you. And the key thing is that the church, as we entangle ourselves with the Lord, as we walk with the Lord, we are actually going to be lifted to new heights, and we're going to see things that we've never seen before. But the key to flying is waiting. Remember that scripture, those who wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. And that word wait means that you get all entangled and all wrapped up in God, that you're going to be able to mount up with wings. How many people believe there's such a thing as angels? You better believe it, because the Bible is filled with stories of angels. Here's one of my favorite, and I want you to see a couple things here. This is Jacob, and he has a dream. And as he's dreaming, here's what happens. Behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven. And behold, the angel of God was ascending and descending on it. Angels were going up and down this ladder. It's called Jacob's ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to your offspring. So remember, this is just a dream. But when Jacob awakes from the dream, here's what he says. Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it. It was only a dream, Jacob. But the dream was so real that he said, God is in this place. And he was afraid. And he says this, how awesome is this place? There is none other. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gates of heaven. The Jewish people believe this, that there are places on the earth in which there are ladders and angels come up and down on these ladders. I personally believe, and had it confirmed many different times, that Hazleton is one of these geographical locations in which angels are going up and down. Now, you can think I'm crazy. You're more than welcome to. But I've actually seen similar stuff to this. Why Hazleton? There's a lot of reasons. I don't have time to go into them now. But you live in a pretty special place. I don't know how many geographical locations are like this, but there are some. And it's so special that Jacob said, this shall be Bethel. Bethel means house of God. And he says, this is a gate to heaven. Remember the Apostle Paul, he was taken up into the third heaven. See, when you look at the Bible, there's a lot of stuff that happens that the only thing you can say about it is it's crazy. We use the word sometimes surreal. Do you know what surreal is? What was the most surreal thing you've ever seen? I think for most people, the most surreal thing they ever saw was 9/11, right? As you're watching 9/11 on TV, if you're old enough and you remember those images, these are two of the tallest skyscrapers in the world falling to the ground, and all of us are watching this and going, I can't believe this is happening. It doesn't seem real. It seems like a dream. Could this really be happening? This is surreal. And let me just tell you this, church. You better start getting used to surreal things. Because when Jesus comes back through the clouds and you're being caught up to meet him, you know what you're going to be saying? This is surreal! Am I dreaming this or is this really happening? How many surreal things have happened in the Bible? Elijah, remember Elijah? Taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire as Elisha watched. How about the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus comes, Jesus is on the mountain, there comes Moses, there comes Elijah, they appear. Is that surreal? That's surreal. How about, you can name just about any story in the Bible. It carries with it surreal, Paul being taken up to the third heaven. How about one of the most surreal scenes ever, when Jesus is taken into heaven, actually goes into heaven. It's surreal. The word means it's marked by intense, irrational reality of a dream. It doesn't seem real. It seems like a dream. It seems unbelievable. Most of us don't live here, but most of us should. Surreal. The only people that get into surreal stuff are kids. And that's a shame, because all of us are called to be surreal. So here's the video that I saw, and the Lord said the church is all about this. And maybe you'll think that the pastor playing this kind of video on a Sunday morning is a bit surreal. It's like a dream. But here it is. About snowmen. Is that what you're telling me? I got to build a whole sermon around snowmen on the day before Halloween. And I always feel the Lord say, I got your back on this. All right. It's a little surreal to have nearly a foot of snow day before Thanksgiving, isn't it? If it's surreal for us in the Poconos, think about in New Jersey where they got 16 inches. I grew up in New Jersey. We've never had 16 inches of snow around Halloween. We've got to start getting ready for surreal things. And one of the things I think in the area of surreal, I kind of look at those snowmen as sort of like angels or Jesus figures. But you better start understanding a little bit more about angels if you're going to understand surreal things. Let me show you a couple things about angels real quickly, if I could. Because I'm going to play something I think that's kind of neat. I'm going to play a video of angels singing that was captured on tape. Believe it or not. But here's something that the Bible says about angels. This is a cool story. This is when Jesus, talk about surreal, was taken up to heaven. Now remember, all the disciples are here on the earth, and here's what it says in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 and 11. It says, "And when he had said these things," that is Jesus, "they were looking on, and he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men who were standing there in white robes said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?'" Aren't angels weird? Here's Jesus ascending into heaven, and everybody's looking at him, and here are the two angels going, "What's the big deal? Why are you looking in this?" It's like, you know, I feel like saying to the angels, "Hey, this may happen every day in your world, but it doesn't happen in ours. You know, you might get used to this kind of stuff, people ascending, but we don't know. That's why we're looking up. We don't see people going into the sky very often." I love the angels. "Why are you looking up at, well, why are we, Jesus is going." And here's what the angel says. "This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go." That was pretty cool what they saw. Jesus going up into heaven. But guess what? If you're alive long enough, you may see him come back. And that's even going to be more surreal than this. Skies open up and here comes, "Is that a man?" He said, because it says the same way he went up as a man, right? He was just a man like us. He may come back about that same size. If he's coming back the same way, "Is that a man? What is that? I can imagine our Air Force going, "Oh, we got an under deck. What is that? What? He's coming back the same way he went up." But angels make all kinds of appearances. Here's another little thing I want to show you about angels real quick. And this, Peter and John are in prison, right? They're in prison. They've just been arrested. And it says, "During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out," and here's what the angel says, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." It sounds kind of weird. Speak to the people all the words of what life? All the words of this kind of life that you're living. So they go and they say, "We were in prison and an angel came and he broke us out. We're living a pretty cool life." How many of you want to live a pretty cool life? Angels have a part to play in living a pretty cool life. We can't see them, but let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says every single one of you have one. So I'm guaranteed in this room right now, how many are you? How many are there? 1, 2? Well, I can't count. 7 here, 4 here, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. We got at least 16 angels here today. 16 of them here, right here. "I don't believe there's angels." Well, then you might as well find another religion, because that's what the Bible says. And sometimes they make what's called a theophany. It's a word which means something in the spiritual comes into the natural. I want to play a little clip here now of a guy I really like, a musician I really like by the name of Jason Upton. And the reason why I like Jason Upton is because when I was a kid, I used to listen to a lot of music, wanted to be a DJ. And one of my big gripes about Christian music was, why isn't it as good as Led Zeppelin? That's when I was a kid. Why isn't Christian music as good as Supertramp? Why does all Christian music sound like a cheap knockoff of some secular group? Don't we have the best inspirer? Don't we have God? I mean, shouldn't our music sound 100 times better than the music we hear in the world? Why does it sound? And the reason why I realize is because not many people were actually tapping into heaven. And so this guy that I'm going to play, Jason Upton, is a guy that I think gets most of his songs from being inspired by heaven, like David was in the Bible. And there's a few other artists that are like this that get all of their music through inspiration. But here's one of his musicians talking about an event that Jason Upton played and what happened at this event.
Anybody else? Okay, we'll move on. For you, what is the most spiritual experience you've had while either listening or performing? Either being a part of a team, performing, or listening to music. Tell me a spiritual encounter you had in a nutshell. Go ahead, Michael.
Undoubtedly. We were in Alexandria, Louisiana. It was when I was with Jason Upton. And we went into this college auditorium, and I basically just put the recorder on and let it go. And we were doing sound check, and I looked up to the ceiling, and I started seeing this fog coming through, and I figured it was just like the condenser and the air conditioner and the coil or something. This fog starts coming in the room, and I started feeling a whole lot of God all of a sudden. I really didn't put two and two together. I'm a little slow on the uptake sometime, and so I asked the janitor. I said, "Hey, what's that stuff coming out of the ceiling up there?" And he looked up there, and he said, "I don't know. There's no pipes up there." And so this holy fear kind of came over me. And meanwhile, there's all these youth guys in there. And they're real stoic, and they got their arms crossed, and everything's kind of like, "Let's see what you got, young man." You know, one of those things. So we finished, and we just started playing. And it got to the point where it got so thick in there that I jumped off stage, and I went and jumped under the soundboard. I mean, I felt so much God. I was like, "Oh, my God, at any minute, something's just going to bust through." And all of a sudden, this little kid comes under the soundboard, and he goes, "There's a 12-foot angel standing behind Jason Upton." And you know what? I know I wasn't singing because I wasn't up there. William wasn't singing. Jason's singing, but there's 2- and 3-part harmonies going on in the room. And I'm going, "What in the world?" And I'm looking on the hard drive recorder, and it's recording it. And I'm thinking, if this is on here when I play this back, I'm going to come out of my skin. So all of a sudden, all this stuff happens. All these guys that were like, yeah, they're, "Daddy, Daddy, oh God," you know. And Jason, I look at Jason, and he's up on stage, and his eyes are rolled back in his head, and he's teetering on his piano bench. I thought, "Oh, my God, he's drunk." I thought that was something that he did all the time. And he starts saying, "Ah, da, da, da." I thought, he's completely lost it. So all this stuff's going on, right? And it's happening in real time, so you're not even catching all of what's happening. And then after the meeting, I went up to, because we were rooming together, I went up to get Jason off the stage. He was completely plastered. But he'd never been drunk in the spirit before. So he says, "I'm feeling all tingly. My arms are, Michael, my legs." And make a long story short, he fell asleep in the dorm exactly like a drunk guy. Would he just lay down on the bed with all his clothes on in his bag, and he was gone. So the next morning, I'm thinking, was that real? I went back to Nashville. And I'm in there with this engineer friend. I was producing the project. And sitting on there, we're going through all the material. We get to the song Fly. And all of a sudden, I said, "Well, any minute now, if that was really an angel." And all of a sudden, there's this perfect voice that comes flying. I went, "Whoa!" And I said, "We got to find that." And the engineer goes, he goes, "Oh, that's just a psychoacoustic anomaly. That's probably a tom-tom ring or something." And so I thought, "Oh, yeah, well, let's find it then." So we start going through, we start soloing out each channel, not a tom-tom, not a keyboard, blah, blah, blah. We get through everything except Jason's vocal. Now remember, the kid said there's a 12-foot angel behind Jason. So we solo Jason's vocal track, and there's 2 waveforms on there, one little one and one big, big one. And you can see it, and not only that, but you can hear it, and the guy goes, "Well, that sounds like something standing like 12 foot behind Jason." I said, "I told you it was an angel." And so literally on that, when that part hits, it doesn't matter. I mean, you get hammered every time. So here's where it got really crazy. So all of a sudden, we start getting emails from Heidi Baker's group up there. Unbeknownst to us, when Jason's going, "Ah, da, da, ah," it's Malawi for "come to the table." So we think he's just this drunken guy in a stupor, and he's actually, so they play it when the orphans are out to play, to call him to lunch, they play, "Ah, da, da," and all the little kids come running in.
Now, you might think that's a pretty crazy story, and it is a pretty crazy story. Reminds me a little bit of what happened to the apostles on the day of Pentecost when everybody thought they were drunk and people heard them speak in languages that they didn't know. So God has a precedent of doing this kind of stuff. But how about the angels singing? Would you like to hear an angel sing? Unfortunately, we don't have that recording. Yes, we do. We actually have that recording. And we're going to play it. And I marked the spot, which I think is where he's talking about, where Jason Upton is singing, and there's nobody else on stage with him that is singing, according to the person who was there and was in the band and knew it was only Jason. And you're going to hear another harmony that is not coming from any of the musicians or anybody out there. And remember who saw this? He didn't see it. Jason Upton didn't see it. Who saw it? Little boy. Here's the song. Indescribable. Surreal. That's the word. Surreal. So you better start getting used to things that are a little surreal. Flying is surreal. Taking off and just going places is surreal. Entertaining angels is surreal. But here's what the Bible says. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For some have entertained what? Angels, unaware. So next time you see a stranger comes to your house, see him on the street, pick him up, whatever, you could just be entertaining an angel. I've met, I believe, one or two. It's an amazing experience. They're usually pretty different kind of people because they're not people. A little off. But what are angels' jobs? Let me tell you what an angel's job is. This is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent to serve for the sake of those who inherit salvation? Let me ask you a question. Will you inherit salvation? Yes. You're going to be in heaven. So what are these angels called to do, the ones that are here today? They're called to serve you. How do they serve you? I don't know. But they serve you. How big of a deal is their service to you? Let me just tell you this. Here's what the Bible says. There was a bunch of little kids Little kids weren't valued in Jesus' day, and they were running to Jesus and they wanted to hug Jesus, and the disciples were trying to hold them back and say, get these kids away, you know, push these kids aside. And here's what Jesus said. He says, do not despise these little ones. Don't despise them, because I tell you this, that in heaven, their angels, see, their angels, personal, their angels, always see the face of my Father. In other words, these angels have one eye on heaven and they have one eye on the children. You guys got angels watching you? We all do. To be surreal is to begin to believe in things you cannot see. The church just has to be filled with surreal people. It reminds me of this scene from Polar Express about a little boy who's getting more sophisticated, growing up, and he's beginning to deny his belief in Santa Claus, which I think has a parallel to people who get too sophisticated for God. And the way it's symbolized is he can't hear the bell. He can't hear this special bell because he doesn't believe. And when he believes, all of a sudden, he can hear the bell. And I think this is where we go. When we begin to believe in the stuff that the Bible is called surreal, we begin to see it, we begin to experience it, we begin to hear it.
What was that you said?
I believe. I believe. I believe. This is yours.
Wow.
Don't ever lose the ability to believe the way a child believes, or you will miss out on the kingdom of heaven. Let me put it to you in Jesus' words. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God, and this is more than salvation, this is God's kingdom that is all around us, the angelic beings, all of the works that are in the supernatural, surreal, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God, like what? Like a child. Cannot enter into it. This is coming. This is coming. This is coming. Have the faith of a child. Don't become so sophisticated that you no longer see this. You no longer comprehend this. You no longer understand this. Surreal, marked by an intense, irrational reality of a dream. When Peter walked on water, I'm sure he said for many days afterwards, did that just happen? Was he on water? Was I on water? Did that get ready for the surreal? The closer you get to the light, the more life on earth will seem like a dream and heaven will become your reality. The further you get from the light, the more heaven becomes like a dream and the earth is your only reality. Awake! O sleeper, arise! Christ will shine on you. When you're in this light, the surreal becomes real.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. Our church is located in Shepton, Pennsylvania. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.